Hi, my name is Sarah, hailing from Germany, outside of Heidelberg at the moment. I'm a songwriter and a podcaster. Power Bites isn't a power trip. Think of it like a power bar to encourage you and me and challenge you and me to keep up our race together. Right. Thanks for listening.
We're going to continue on to Nehemiah 3. And so let's get started. Let's pray first. Lord, I pray that you would teach us what you would have to teach us in this next chapter about what restoration looks like. And what could be around us under our noses as far as what needs to be restored before we can reach those dreams or goals or the overall vision. Help us not to be a people that just skips to the end, but looks around immediately around us for ways that we can be impactful. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah 3, let's read it. It's long. Okay, we're going to read it. And your job is to look at the chapter and underline every time the word repairs, repaired, any way that's said. So, to mark it. Starting out, then Eliashib, the high priest, arose with his brothers, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They consecrated the wall to the tower of the hundred and the tower of the Hananel. Next to him, the men of Jericho built. I want you to also notice the number of different groups involved. First, underlining repairs or the derivative, and then noticing how many different groups were involved. Next to him, the men of Jericho built, and the next to them, Sakur, the sons of Imri, built. Now the sons of Hassanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. Next to them, and the level of destruction. Next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakaz, made repairs. And next to him, Mishulam, so that is an underline. I won't say that again. Next to him, Mishulam, and the son of Berechiah, you guys. Sorry, Berechiah, the son of Mishezibel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, the son of Baana, also made repairs. Moreover, next to him, the Tekoites, if I ever have a dog, his name's going to be Tekoa. The Tekoites made repairs, but their nobles did not support the work of their masters. Joida, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Bozadiah. This is really good for me, learning how to read. Repaired the old gate, and they laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. Next to them, Melatiah, and the Gibeonite, and Jadon, the Meronathite. The men of Gibeon and Mizpah also made repairs for the official seat of the governor of the province beyond the river. Next to him, Uziel, the son of Harahiah of the goldsmiths, made repairs. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs. And they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Rephiah, the son of Hur, the official of the half of the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. Next to them, Jediah, the son of Haromoth, made repairs opposite his house. And next to him, Hatush, the son of Hashabiah, made repairs. Malachiah, the son of Haram, and Hasab, the son of Pathamoab, repaired another section of the Tower of Furnaces. Next to him, Shalom, the son of Helohesh, the official half of the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. He and his daughters, you guys are getting the idea. Hanun and the inhabitants of Zenoa repaired the valley gate. They built it and hung its doors with its bolts and its bars and 1,000 cubits of the wall to the refuse gate. Melchijah, the son of Rechab, the official of the district of Beth Hakeram, repaired the refuse gate. He built it and hung its doors with its bolts and its bars. Shalom, the son of Kol Hazah, the official of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. He built it and covered it and hung its doors with its bolts and its bars, and the walls of the pool of Shelah at the king's gardens, as far as the steps that descend from the city of David. After him, I just think it's really important we get the emphasis about not skipping to the end. After him, Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, official of the half district of Bethzur, made repairs as far as the point of a point opposite the tombs of David, and as far as the artificial pool in the house of the mighty men. After him, the Levites carried out repairs under Rehum, the son of Bani. Next to him, Hashabiah, the official of the half district of Keilah, carried out repairs for his district. After him, their brothers carried out repairs under Bavi, the son of Hanadad, official of the other half of the district of Keilah. Next to him, Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the official of Mizpah, repaired another section in the front of of the ascent of the armory of the angle. After him, Baruch, the son of Zebai, zealously repaired another section from the angle to the doorway of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. After him, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakaz, repaired another section from the door of the doorway of Eliashib's house, as far as the end of his house. After him, the priest, the men of the valley, carried out repairs. After them, Benjamin and Hashab carried out repairs in front of their house. After them, Azariah, the son of Mezaiah, put a little mark, I guess, about these close quarter repairs within the walls of their own house, with the houses of individuals in front of their house. After them, Azariah, the son of Mazaiah, son of Ananiah, carried out repairs beside his house. After him, Benui, the son of Henadad, repaired another section from the house of Azariah as far as the angle and as far as the corner. Pelal, the son of Uzai, made repairs in front of the angle and towering projecting from the upper house of the king, which is by the court of the guard. After him, Padiah, son of Parosh, made repairs. The temple of the servants living in Ophel made repairs as far as the front of the water gate toward the east and the projecting tower. After them, the Tekoites repaired another section in front of a great projecting tower as far as the wall of Ophel. Above the horse gates, the priest carried out repairs, each in front of his house. And then, after them, Zadok, the son of Immer, carried out repairs in front of his house. And after him, Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, carried out repairs. We're almost done. After him, Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalaph, repaired another section. After him, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, carried out repairs in front of his own quarters. And after him, Malachijah, one of the goldsmiths, carried out repairs as far as the house of the temple servants of the merchants in front of the inspection gate and as far as the upper room of the corner. Being the upper room of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants carried out repairs. There are three things to take away from this, and I will end this. One, the main things were taking care of the gates. They were put up, locked, bolts, bars, whatever. And if I'm going to draw a direct, and a lot of people are not, but hear me out, a lot of people are not going to like my direct inference, reference point, but I have to say it. Just because we tore down slavery in the States does not mean our work was done. We skipped. We said, oh, we're good. We fought the war. Slavery came down. And then the individuals, we put up the doors. We can't have slavery in this country anymore. We put up the doors. We put up the locks and the bolts. It wasn't really carried out for a couple years. But nevertheless, it was written in. You can't have slaves. Emancipation Proclamation. But we skipped something. We did not look around to our direct impact in the repairs that we needed to make to these people. We have skipped this process of repairing. And I know that people are like, there's no such thing as racism. There's no such thing as systemic racism. There's no such thing. All lives matter. This is all. When these types of phrases have to be used, when we have to deny someone's pain, when we ignore the repairs that we should have made, ultimately, it will come to using these phrases. There is no problem. We don't have one. They're all just getting together and deciding that they hate white people. That I have not seen any that anywhere in honest to goodness dialogue about restoring black people into our communities, into our culture. Reparations. What I see is that there are people genuinely experiencing injustice. I have not heard out of their mouths, I hate white people. And for us, this is where we are going to go. They hate us because we're white. They're making this stuff up as if there's, you know, a large room somewhere where they've just all decided to make up stuff. Just make up stuff about injustices. It's as funny as mothers whose kids are being damaged by vaccines that we would all get together and make stuff up when it is of no benefit. It is of no benefit to cause this rift if there isn't a rift. If there isn't a divide. If there isn't systemic injustice and racism. If there is no benefit in making it up. If we had done the work, not just put the gates up, not just put the law in place, but had done our work directly around us, around our own house. Does that make any sense? We skipped it. We put the law in place. Half of America decided, well, that's good enough because I'm not even from the South. I don't know what that whole dynamic is. And we fought a war. We're done. And then the other half denying outright that it was bad, that it was heinous, that it was wrong. But you would ultimately have to move to whitewashing it. and using these phrases. All lives matter. It's an avoidance tactic. No, there's no such thing as racism. It's an avoidance. Why would you need to say that? Because you deep down fear that you're being hated for your skin color? Well, I have not found that to be a thing. I've not found that to be a thing. Maybe it is in some, you know, far-reaching sections. But it's never beneficial for a victim to bring up injustice. In most societies, not just America. I mean, how long did it take for battered women to have a voice? A long time. That, you know, this women things, I accept that challenge thing. That's because of the women dying in Turkey at the hands of their husbands or family members. There's been an uptick in this issue. And so it was started, it's based in Turkey. Domestic violence. It's not beneficial to raise a ruckus. Most people want to go on with their lives. Most people want to be part of a built-up city. Most people want peace. Most people just want to be loved and respected for who they are. That's the gist. That's what I'm getting at. So one, it's not good enough that the gates are put up. Two, it's going to take a lot of people looking around them to see what they can do within their context. And three, we do the work outside our door. We do the work outside our door. Peace out.
Okay, thanks for listening. Join me for the next part of this series, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, usually, you know. I'll let you know. Find Underground Crowds on Twitter or undergroundcrowds.com.